Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, authors, entrepreneurs, marketers, artists, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today I have with me somebody I'm super excited to hear about. She has written a really amazing book called Mom Versus Debt about how she paid down $64,000 in credit card debt. She's also a boldness coach. So this is a woman who has a lot to share with you as the audience. And I'm hoping, Amanda, that you'll just take a moment to kind of let us know how you got into life coaching and what is up with this book, dude.
Well, you know, it started really, the story started 13 years ago when I realized I had three really little kids. Like my oldest was three and my youngest was 6 months old. And so life was insane. And I kind of was spending money as a way to assert my own freedom, I think, really. I mean, I really don't know what my purpose was, but whatever it was, it happened. And I realized at that point that I was, you know, like in debt beyond what anybody should ever be in debt. And I really had no way to pay it off because I was a stay-at-home mom with three little kids and the cost of childcare is like through the roof. I tried to institute teaching for a little while, but I ended up making like $15 a day after paying for childcare. So I was like, this is stupid. Like my kids are crazy because they haven't seen me all day. I'm angry because I only made $15 today. And yeah. This is really a horrible situation. So I was like, well, I have to figure something out. Like this has to, didn't know about the debt either. So there's that. And so I wanted to pay it off before he found out about it because I think it was my mistake. I didn't want to saddle him with the stress of that on top of life. So I started up my own business and I started out first as a virtual assistant because I had been an administrative assistant before I had kids. And I thought, well, you know, what's the difference? Either I'm doing it in person or I'm doing it virtually.
Yeah.
So I started out that way. And then next thing I know, I had several clients who could only afford a virtual assistant, not a web designer too. So I started teaching myself how to, you know, make their websites better and do content and all that stuff. And then next thing I know, I'm like, why am I doing this when this pays way better than that does? So let's switch over. And then, you know, 13 years later, I'm like, I don't have a lot of shame around the debt simply because I feel like it was something that had to happen to push me into where I am now. But I still, like, I tell the story if people ask about it, but I haven't been super open about it. And that's kind of why I wrote the book, because I think, you know, so many people have shame around debt. And yeah. Them to understand it's, we all do it. Like this is just part of life and growing up and learning how to be an adult. And it's not a mistake. It's often something that will push you into something that you're supposed to be doing that you otherwise wouldn't have been doing. So.
Absolutely. Well, I love that. And I love the fact that you bring up that you were spending and you didn't know why, because I think that's a very common thing that happens, especially here in Western culture, that it becomes this way of medicating whatever it is that we're feeling. Shopping can become a serious addiction. And not even just like, sometimes I think we think of shopping like, oh, I'm just going to go out and buy 16 pairs of shoes. It can also be overbuying things that we need, but getting it at a level that's way too luxurious and way outside of our means. So how, if somebody was watching this, who's kind of arrived at that point where they're like, I think I'm spending in an odd way, how would you help them come to understand that we can use spending as a form of medicating?
Well, I think, you know, really what you have to understand about yourself is that you probably are doing it for that reason. And just kind of one thing that, and I still do it to some extent, like I still buy things because it makes me feel good. Yeah. But I have developed this thing where I make myself wait 2 weeks before I buy anything. Like,
brilliant.
And I want something super bad. I'm like, if in 2 weeks you still want that, then you can get it. But usually I forget about it. I've already, like in 2 weeks, my attention span's so short. It's like completely, and I don't even remember what it was I wanted. So it's like, you know, you just make yourself wait because if it's not that important, you're just going to forget about it. And So that's what I've been doing. It works pretty well.
Yeah, it sounds like it would. So where did the Just Go Boldly come in?
Well, so my actual obsession is with travel. Like if I had all the money in the world, I would never be in Northwest Ohio. I mean, I'd come back occasionally because you've got to recharge, but I would be gone at least 1 week a month just to go out and see the world. So it started as a travel blog, just to kind of catalog my travels and, you know, give people ideas for places to go. And I talked about restaurants and, you know, because I also don't like tourist trap things. So like when we were in Hawaii, we didn't do the big Diamond Head hike. We did one where you had to sneak through a fence and it was technically kind of illegal, but it was really awesome. So, you know, we got to see this awesome waterfall and walk through this bamboo forest and it was so gorgeous. And I want people to go after things like that because the experience is so much greater than just the same hike that everybody else does. That was the idea behind Just Boldly Go. And I'm a little bit of a Trekkie. So the whole Boldly Go and, you know, that
gotcha
started. But then I realized it's not just travel. Like it's not just going out places, because not everybody can do that. Not everybody has the time or the finances or whatever to get out of wherever it is they live. So finding ways to live more boldly it every day is what I want people to do, is, you know, just do something that's a little bit scary, do something that you wouldn't normally do because it pushes you in your comfort zone and expands you and your world. So
if you had to tell the audience what your meaning of boldness is, what would that be?
I think anything that is, I guess what I'm trying to fight is mediocrity, is where you just get up and you do the thing every single day without thought and without purpose. So anything that adds purpose to your life, I think is adding boldness to your life. It's just where you get up in the morning and you do the exact same thing every single day and you fall asleep and you get up and do it again. And people deserve more than that. I think that everybody deserves more than that. So
it's like intentional living, like living from a seat of purpose.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How you work with clients on this as well?
Yeah, I do. Right now I just have I have a free Facebook group, like $5 a month Facebook group, and then a 6-week course that has a Facebook group with it. It's mostly geared towards moms. Because I find, you know, right now my kids are older. I have a 17-year-old, well, he's almost 17 in a month, a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. So I'm kind of past the PTSD of having little kids and can see how I could have done things better and lived a little bit more boldly when my kids were little. I don't think I did too bad at it because they're really good at going after the things that they're passionate about. But I want everybody to live that way. Like if you as a mom aren't chasing your dreams in a, you know, like an intentional way, then your kids aren't going to learn to do that. And of course you want them to, you want them to go after what they're passionate about. Yeah. So why are you doing it? So that's what my current thing is.
I don't know if you would agree with me or not, but I'm kind of the opinion, and I'm not a mother, but I'm kind of the opinion that moms kind of get pigeonholed by society in that. Absolutely. You're supposed to behave a certain way. You're supposed to think a certain way. Your children are supposed to be more important than you. And there's almost the thing that comes to mind when I think of it is a crushing of the mother spirit that you've had a child, but now you no longer get to be your own person. You're kind of just a milk bag and a lunch bag and whatever it is that your children need. And I would imagine that message of boldness to come back out of hiding and be who you really are is so important, because especially for women who are raising daughters, that's where your daughter's going to learn her sexuality and her presence in the world, right?
Exactly. Yes. And I have two sons and a daughter, and what hit me was that I don't want my sons to think that their wives are supposed to give themselves up for the kids. And I definitely want my daughter to think that she should give herself up for her kids. And the way that I've always done it is if I'm doing something, if I have, you know, clients or whatever that I need to work with, the kids go with me. Like if I had a meeting in the next town over to work with somebody, they come with me. They're just part of the deal. And they, you know, they learn to behave and let me work. And, you know, but they saw me doing all of it so that they know you can do this and this, and you can be both, and you can, you know, be successful at it.
Awesome. Now, when your site talks about intuitive design, is that website design?
Yeah, that's the thing that I've been doing for the last 11, 12 years is website design. And I called myself an intuitive designer because when I work with people like, and they tell me what they want, it never ends up well. But if they just let me do what I think they need, then it always works out just right. So
I love that. So you have that ability to, I don't know what the word is, like to read beyond the language, to read beyond the communication. That's really powerful. That must be an incredible gift.
It's really fun because it's when I do a first call with the people, they're always a little skeptical. And I'm like, no, I already see pictures of what it should look like as we're talking. Like, I already know. So just let me do it. And then, okay, well, what if I don't like it? And I'm like, that doesn't happen. But if it does, well, I'll do it again for you. But it's always spot on first time. Always. Always.
So. Well, what I love about you, and I've had several other coaches and professionals on her the same way, you're actually living what you're teaching. So there's a ton of boldness behind what you just said. Like a ton.
I'm trying. I'm really trying.
And I love that you're a coach that teaches boldness, and that in your bread and butter and your intuitive design, that you are that bold with your gifts. Like, I don't know if anybody's told you that recently, but girl, that's the shit. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Well, it took me a while to get to the point where I was comfortable just saying it, but it's true. It's just true. So.
What are some of the processes that you went through to start getting more comfortable with owning that boldness?
Really just, like I said, the clients always ask me, what if I don't like it?
Yeah.
And I say, well, we'll go through this process and everything. And at one point I had a client who the first draft, she said she didn't like it. And I was like, all right, well, let's do it your way. And so I did what she wanted and she hated it. And we started and she's like, you were right. She said, I thought I wanted it to look like this, but it doesn't fit me. And I'm like, I know, just listen to me. So at that point, I think I kind of got to the place where I just really had to admit that I know what you need, whether you think I do or not. So just let me do it.
Yeah. Yesterday's interview was about intuition as well. And it's interesting to note that a lot of us think that intuition comes from up here. Whereas in my experience, my intuition comes more from like the autonomic nervous system, where you're literally picking up on signals that mm-hmm. other person is giving you and aspects of them that you're, it's almost like the tasting of the air that a snake does. And I think people think sometimes that when you say you're intuitive, especially when it's in design or something that's, like their baby, that you're trying to take power away from them. But I think that somebody who's truly owning that wisdom of the body and the ability to read more than what's on the lines, mm-hmm. is far beyond the intellect, and it must be so powerful for you to get to reaffirm that to yourself constantly.
It is nice when I, because I doubt myself and think, maybe it's not, but then it's always spot on. And then I also have a thing where if I'll think of somebody like a client, and then within 24 hours they email me or text or something, and I'm just like, it just like reaffirms that, yeah, I am feeling it. I am hearing it, whatever it is, it's real. And, just let it happen. So
it sounds like if I were to ask a question for the audience, that what you're saying is that doubt is a part of intuition, but it shouldn't be the end of your intuition.
Absolutely. In everything that I do. In fact, I just had this conversation about the boldness coaching and the groups that I have and everything, is that I am 100% sure that that's the direction that I need to go, like without a doubt, but I still have doubts. I still, like 2 days ago, was like freaking out, like this isn't right. I know I'm just, why do I think I could do this? But then I'm like, once I like start breathing again and start feeling it again, I'm like, shut up. You know it's right. I don't know why. Yourself, like, just keep moving forward. It's fine. So yeah, doubts are part of it, but you just have to like kind of ride the wave and go get through.
I think that's a key thing, what you just said, is to keep moving forward. Because I think all of us have those, for me, it's very cyclical, those doubting, anxious, neurotic thought patterns. But if we just keep taking that next step or doing that next right indicated action through it and don't stop at the presentation of that thought pattern, we do eventually get through it to the other side. And that's where all the proof for our genius is, right?
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
So how would you help a client who's currently caught in, well, because I think it's true? How would you help them start to detach from that belief system and move more into it's a thought, it's not a fact?
Right. First of all, breathing. Like, breathing is key. Just like calm yourself down and go back to the moment when you knew that it was the right thing and focus on that instead of the thought that is telling you that it's not the right thing. Because you deep in your soul that it's right. You just have to, you know, remember and then plan what is the next even tiny thing that I can do to move forward in this. You know, even just a tiny baby step that makes you go, that's right. This is where I'm supposed to be. And just keep doing those until you're there. Like, that's really all you can do.
That's fantastic. Our chief spiritual officer, Andrea Hendren, was with us, and she said, that's good to hear, Amanda, that doubts are part of it and checking in and breathing. Those are all powerful, powerful tools. The last time I checked, your book is number 88 on Amazon right now, and I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit about when the idea first popped into your head to write a book. How did you deal with those neurotic thought patterns that were like, oh, come on, what do you have to say?
Well, it's really started because my husband was like, you really have to do something with your death story because it's really powerful and it resonates with people. And I'm like, no, but like, I kind of am still not super great with money. Like, I still make stupid mistakes with my money. And by saying, you know, I have all these answers, I'm like presenting myself as something that I think I'm not. But I know that I'm telling myself a story that I'm not good with money because I can be good with money. I just sometimes choose not to be good with money. Yeah. And the debt, the story about my debt isn't about what I am right now. It's about how I got out of the debt. But it's more than that. It's about like why these mistakes that we make aren't just like, it's not a mistake. Everybody's how could you do that? It's such a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. If I hadn't gotten into debt, I wouldn't have started my business. My husband would have started his business. I've been to Italy twice. I've been to Norway. I've been to all these places because of clients that I never would have been if I hadn't gotten into debt. So like at some point I realized I don't want to do like a program or something because I don't have all the answers with money, but a book tells the story, is in a bite-sized thing. And you know, I can tell it and give pointers and maybe grow it into something bigger eventually, but a book felt kind of safe, actually. Like it was just a safer way to do it than to like put myself out there as a money guru that I don't think I am. So yeah, I decided to write the book in January. I started writing the book in April. I wrote two chapters of it, sent it to my the girl who ended up publishing. I sent her those two chapters. And she immediately said yes, but I didn't finish it for another 3 months. Then in July, I sat down for like a week and wrote the whole thing. And here we are. So
that was January of this year?
Yeah. Yep.
Sweet baby Jesus, child.
When I get an idea in my head, sometimes I just have to keep going until it's done, even if I'm not doing anything with it. But this time I had to do anything with it. So.
That is awesome. So as you were writing the book and as the ideas were hitting the page, did you find any of those blockages that sometimes come for painters and authors and musicians where it's like, that's not right, and like kind of freeze? Or is this something where you had committed to the idea and damn it, whatever comes out should come out?
I got to that point eventually, but I think when I wrote the first two chapters and then I sent it off to Sabrina, I was like, let's wait and see what she says. Then she comes back positively, like within a couple of days, like, absolutely, let's do it. And then I was just like, okay, yeah, I'll get to it. And then just like the doubts start rolling of who do I think I am? And I can't finish that. And I didn't even pick it up, didn't even look at what I had read. And then July, I start feeling again like I need to be working on it. And I read the two chapters that I wrote and I was like, damn, that was good. After that, like I needed the break from it to really come back and be like, that is good. And then go from there. So, yeah.
So on this side of it, girl, what does it feel like to be an author?
Really good. I mean, people say that you're an author and all that, and I'm like, oh, it's only 100 pages, but it's still 100 pages. So, yeah. So, you know, in my head, I keep saying, oh, it's nothing. You didn't do anything special or whatever, but I am proud of it and I am excited about it. And
yeah. It would appear as though Amazon would beg to disagree with you.
Well, I hope so.
So if you had to give a message to somebody who was struggling with that boldness, who was struggling with that ability to reach down into that gut and grab a dream and just boldly go, what would that message be?
Really, it's just keep taking action, keep moving forward. That's like my constant go-to message is, and you know, the whole Eleanor Roosevelt thing about doing one thing every day that scares you. It doesn't have to be jumping off of a cliff or out of an airplane. It doesn't have to be that scary. Just, you know, putting a book out there was really scary. Writing the first chapter was really scary. And just keep doing those things that seem scary, because in my experience, when it really scares, like really, really, really scares me, that's the thing I'm supposed to be doing. So I try to do the scary things, and I'm scared all the time, like 100% of the time, terrified, but I just do it anyway, because otherwise, what else, you know, what am I doing here? So
I have a friend who has just created, her name's Julie Smith, who's just done amazing things with her life. And she talks about how, oh yeah, you see me doing the amazing things, but right before that, I'm on the floor crying. And like, why am I doing this to myself? And it's funny that the people that we look at and we think, oh my God, they're so bold, I could never be like that. Right before they did the thing that you're so amazed with, they were just as scared as you.
Absolutely. Scared all the time. Always scared, but just do it anyway.
Yeah. It's powerful the way that, because we have chosen to specialize in thought in this society, that we fail to be able to stand back with objective reasoning and see that fear is just a thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, lady, thank you so much for being on with me today. I am so proud of you for that book, and I love your attitude, and I especially am just absolutely passionate about that intuitive design and really just owning what's yours. I want to take a moment to recognize some of our viewers: Beth, Angela, Andrea, Becky. Thank you guys so much for watching with us today. And if you catch this video after we're no longer live, drop us a hashtag replay and let us know that you were here. If you heard something in this interview that really caught your attention, and come on guys, how could you not have heard something that you like here? All of Amanda's contact information is available in this live, her website, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook. Hook up with her, find out what it is that makes her tick, and try and emulate some of that action moving forward stance that helps her achieve so much in her own life. So again, thank you so much, Amanda. I really appreciate you being with me here today. And to our viewers, you know, we'll be back here same time, same place on Monday. And as always, guys, you know I love you.
Thanks.